It is a gorgeous day in South Africa.
Balmy.
We were supposed to leave in 3 weeks, but due to the current world circumstances
hysteria
of coronavirus, we are now...
Please, the Chinese virus. China.
We're now here indefinitely. We got here in January, and
to visit my family for a couple months.
Yeah, I can only be on a 90-day visa. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to get a flight out when America issued the level four travel ban that said you had any Americans internationally had 72 hours to get home or be prepared to stay where you are indefinitely. We tried to get a flight. They were all full. And so here we are in South Africa indefinitely and starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
South Africa has put a 21-day lockdown in place, which means you can't go anywhere except the grocery store or hospital. And so, yeah, life has been pretty exciting and also a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
But we trust that God is directing our steps, and that was kind of our thing of figuring out what we were supposed to do. We were like, Lord, if you're directing our steps back to America, then we'll get a plane ticket.
Yeah.
And if we don't get a plane ticket, then it's your best for us to stay here.
Yeah. And so I think that's what we're excited about is this new season that God is, you know, a lot of people are saying like, you know, God brought this as a judgment and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if you read, the Bible's very clear on it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And those are the three things that are happening right now. You know, the economy is being destroyed, people's lives are being killed, and the enemy is stealing time and joy and peace
and hope
from people, and hope from people. So this is not from God. However, God, he uses what the enemy tries to bring against us for our good. You know, those who love the Lord, it's a thing that God uses our circumstances to direct our steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just wanted to really talk into this season right now for Christians of what does it mean, you know, if you're locked away and maybe your businesses, you know, are on the verge of bankruptcy, or, you know, even just in your personal lives, you know, we're living on credit cards or whatever the case may be. You know, we felt pretty strongly back in middle of last year, the Lord preparing us for this season. Neither of us liked Dave Ramsey. And for some reason, all of a sudden, we got on the Dave Ramsey kick. And really went hard after our debt, and by the blessing of the Lord.
Well, you started listening to his podcast, and I was like, ugh, why are you listening to him? He stresses me out. And I was really appalled that Scott was listening to Dave Ramsey. But start listening to his podcast, because you will get addicted.
Yeah.
And then you will get convicted.
Addicted and convicted. Dave. so we really got... You know, by the blessing of the Lord, we were able to get all of our debt done the week before we flew out for South Africa, which was the beginning of January. So there's three classes economically that we've kind of see the world through. You know, base level, there's the survival class, and that's majority of Africa, not really in America, but in South Africa, you have people who live in a survival economy, which means my problems are a lack of health and a lack of safety. So in South Africa, you know, sickness, AIDS, viruses are rampant, you know, so health is quite a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no law and order. So safety is a big thing. You know, you don't know, there's violent people. Everybody who can has a fence around their house. They have gated doors. Ironically, in America, anyone and their dog can have a gun. But in South Africa, you're not allowed to have a gun. And so, well, it's very hard to get a gun.
Very hard.
And so... health and safety are the two problems in a survival society. Then the next stage up economically is the slavery economy. And the problems of a slavery economy are lack of time and lack of money. So this is where the majority of America are at, is they're in the slavery economy, where, you know, you sleep 8 hours, you go to work 8 hours, you commute and do other random things for about 4 hours. So that leaves you 4 hours to do your life, you know, your passions, your relationships, your family, your free time. You've got 4 hours. You're a slave. You have no time of your own. If you want to go and do something, you have to ask permission of your master. You're in the slavery economy. You know, often the way we do it is we're addicted, we're enslaved to a wage, and we're enslaved to debt. You know, mm-hmm. so we can't leave our job because we've got all these debts. We can't leave our job because we're addicted to getting a paycheck every week. And we don't know how to graduate from that either. And so that's the final economic class, is the significance class. So we have survival, slavery, significance. And so where we're at with significance is I'm doing what God has called me to do. This is my passion. This is my purpose. This is what I love to do. And I'm doing it. And, you know, that's where we all want to get to. And a lot of people think that we need money to do it. And I don't have money. So how do I get, I do money? And I fell into this. You know, we know what we want to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, well, we don't have money. So I went and worked a job for a year and a half, you know, where, again, you become a slave to someone else's time. You become a slave to someone else's wage. You go and you go get a mortgage. So now you're indebted. And the last thing on my mind with my 4 hours every day is the thing that we think we are significantly called to, you know, like
you have no time or energy to think about those
to things. Try and do those things. You know, Dave understands the slavery economy. He's like, you've got to get out of debt. That's the first step. You've got to get out of debt. And once you can get out of debt, you can then start investing and try to start figuring out. He just graduates you to that neck to figure out the last problem, which is wage slavery. But he gets you out of debt slavery and he builds you up to a 3 to 6 month emergency fund, which kind of gets you off the addiction of week to week paycheck.
Which we followed his principles. Mm-hmm. Last July, we paid off my student loans. And that was totally the grace of God. I actually was like, I would rather have money in the bank account than pay off student loans. But Scott gave me a really great parallel of, if it had been my dad that had lended me money to go to school, like, and that's what the loan was from my dad. If we had money in the bank account and we weren't paying him back, that's dishonorable, because we owe him money. So the Great Lakes or whatever that I owed my money to, they were my dad, but it's dishonorable of me to have the money in my account and not pay the debt that I owe to them.
And if we believe that God is our provider, we must then act honorably so that God can honor us.
Yeah, and if we believe the word of God that says,
owe no man anything except a debt of love.
Amen. And so we paid off my student loans in July, but we still had our land payment. And so we've kind of talked about our whole journey with our land and from our previous videos, but we were really unsure what to do with our land because it became impossible. And unsure
what to do with our life.
Yeah, and it became really challenging for us to build on our land. And so we didn't want to go into massive debt to build on our land. We could have taken out a loan and built on it, and we would have been stuck there. And we didn't want to come to a place where we were stuck. And so we kept on praying about it and asking God, what do we do? And also, like, what have we done? Have we made a huge mistake in, like, getting stuck into this piece of property and that we can't build on? Then in the fall, we felt that Scott was supposed to quit his job.
Which was scary because of that enslavement and addiction to wage.
Mm-hmm.
And we still had a debt to service.
Yeah. But we had saved up an emergency fund.
Yeah.
So we had our emergency fund in place, but we still had our land payments. And so we knew we were going to go to South Africa in January. And so we wanted Scott to have a month of not working at his job so we could have time together. And we had other random jobs that we do lined up. So we were having other sources of income, but it wasn't the
wage
slave job. We blessed the people we worked for. Like, it wasn't the place.
Yeah, we're not condemning bosses. We're not communists. Yes. We're not, like, businesses are awesome things. Employment is a good tool. Just as far as when it comes to...
Scott wasn't able to build on the things God had called him to do. And that made it really hard because you feel these... You know when you know that you're not in the middle of God's will for your life.
Yeah, you're on your flow.
Yeah, something's off, and that's where we were. And so it had nothing to do with the place that Scott was working. It was literally the grace to be at that place was gone.
Yeah.
And so...
And so we were asking God. We're like, all right, Lord, here we are. We're ready to do whatever you want us to do. Like, we'll go where you want us to go. Mm-hmm. We'll do what you want us to do. You just tell us what it is that significance thing. Like, Lord, do you want us to go into ministry? Do you want us to go into politics? Do you want us to move to some place? Like, you tell us what you want us to do and we'll go do it. We kind of felt nothing, nothing, nothing. And then through a bunch of circumstances and the way the Lord leads us, we're like, all right, we're going to go down to a church in Florida who has a government school and I'm going to get involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just an amazing way of God leading us, because in order to go down to Florida, we had to settle all of our stuff in Kentucky.
But this is a cool story. I think we should tell the whole story with. So how that we got there, we obviously been praying all of these things. We went to a Trump rally on a Monday, and it was the weekend before that Monday. We went to a gas station, and I had just been reading Bob Hazlett's book that says, if weird circumstances happen in your life over and over, listen, it's probably God speaking to you. So we're at this grocery store, and someone asks Scott to jump their car if we had jumper cables. So that was the weekend. We went to the Trump rally. It was amazing. You could feel God's presence at this Trump rally. And Scott really felt compelled to like, okay, politics is something
significant
that I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
At the time, the governor election was happening in Kentucky as well. And the governor that we had hoped would get elected didn't. And that was, again, it's time
we're
for Christians
this,
to be
yeah.
in politics. So then that Wednesday, we are at another grocery store, and some random person asks Scott again to jump their car. And we're like, that's so weird. But again, like, you didn't think anything of it. So then on Friday, we were going to a Rodney Howard Brown conference because my sister and her husband had told us about it. And so we were on our way there, and we pulled into the gas station, and another guy asks Scott to jump his car. And he gets in the car, tells me, and he's like, God is speaking to us about this. Like, Lord, what do you mean? So we started asking God, what do you mean? What are you saying to us? We go to Rodney Howard Brown's conference, and in the middle of the conference, he was talking about churches in America, and he said, churches in America are so dead that
off the people to get them out of the service.
Yeah, they need jumper cables. He actually said jumper cables to get out of the parking lot after the service. And we were like, oh my gosh, Lord. And then he goes into talking about his school that he has in Florida, which is, it's a government school to help Christians get into politics. And so for us, that was it. Like, God, you have spoken. This is what Scott's supposed to do. We have direction. We have peace.
Yep.
We have clarity. And we were like, done. We
awesome.
Say yes.
Yeah. So we start like
wrapping
everything up. Like, we've got direction. Let's go. We started, you know, selling all our stuff, getting our stuff in storage. And with our land, we were like, man, like, you know, do we hold on to it as an investment piece of land? Do we sell it or whatever? So I went to the real estate agent. He was like, look, man, this land sat for 2 years before you bought it, and land doesn't sell well in the winter. So, and we knew we were going back to South Africa to visit my family. So he's like, look, when you come back from South Africa, list it. So we ummed and ahed about it, and we're like, man, like, let's just sell it. Let's put it up on
only half of it.
Yeah.
So we have 11 acres. We decided we would sell 5 because all of our garden stuff is still on the other 6.
And there was just too much to try and sort all that stuff out in like the couple weeks that we had before we went to South Africa. So we go ahead and I'm like, man, just list it. So we list it, and within 10 days someone bites and is like, hey, we want to buy it. And long story short, we sold half the property for the total amount we had outstanding on the bond for the whole property. So boom. Plus a little extra. So debt's cleared. We have a 6-acre piece of investment property that's just
debt-free.
And it all sold the Monday before.
We left on a Tuesday, and the Friday before, we had to sign off on everything and like finish up all the paperwork. And it's so cool because we also prayed about when to get our plane tickets. And the timing of that was totally
And again, it wasn't our great wisdom or our great listening to God. It's like friends of ours had a wedding that was on this date. So we're like, all right, we have to stay for that date. And then the cheapest ticket was a couple days on from that. That's how we literally did it. And so, boom, we come to South Africa, thank the Lord, debt free. And with all of our stuff in storage, we've said goodbye to everybody where we worked and lived. And it's like, we're going to Florida. When we come back, we're going to Florida. I'm going to government school. Like, that's the next thing. And so Kelly and I, we apply for the school online. We send our applications.
The day before we flew out, we filled out our applications because I was going to go to the Bible school.
Yeah. And
but for me, the moment that we sent the application in, it was like the assignment was done. Like, my peace was gone for it. And I was like, you know what? It's probably just discomfort. Like,
yeah.
it's probably just, I don't want to make the move down there.
Yeah.
And that. So I'm like thinking, okay, like I'm being disobedient and I need to die to myself and just get over it.
So we get back to South Africa. We get settled into our place. We see our family and it's all great. So I go and get my crate of books that I had stored at my mom's place. And I'm unpacking all the books, putting them on our shelf, looking for a book to read. And for some reason, I pick up this rugby coach, Jake White, his autobiography. And I'm like, it's a book I read in high school. It's like cheesy. Like, I'm not going to read this. Like, why would I read this biography? So randomly, I start paging through it. You get bitten in the book. And I finish the book in 3 days. I'm like, oh my gosh, just the passion to coach rugby is just really in the forefront of me reading this book. I'm like, wow, Lord, like this is an amazing story. This dude's a total heathen, but you directed his steps. You can just see the blessing of God on this guy to coach rugby and to impact guys' lives and to father guys through rugby. And I'm like, man, Lord, like I really want to coach rugby. Like this is what I really want to do. And so Kelly and I are just chatting and stuff. And I'm like, I think I'm supposed to be a rugby coach. Like, I think that's what God has put it. Like, I'm really good at it. I love it. It's the only thing that we've had fruit in our lives for the last 4 years. In Kentucky, like everything else, trying to start a church, trying to be in ministry, trying to be involved in, like anything else we tried was like, even trying to homestead and
yeah.
like everything we
trying
tried
to make
was
the
hard.
Land work.
And rugby just was like easy. Everything we did with rugby was a blessing. Everything was great. There was favor. We enjoyed the people. The people enjoyed us. It was wonderful. All right, Lord, like that's what you have grace and faith, favor on our life with. Like, I get it. I think I believed as a Christian, in order to be significant, you have to lead a church or be in ministry or be a missionary or go into politics. And like, those are the significant things you're allowed to do as a Christian. Whereas like being a rugby coach is like dying to yourself, because it's not significant in the world's eyes. It's not significant in the church's eyes.
Mm.
But so I said to Kelly, I was like, I think I'm supposed to coach rugby. And she told me she doesn't have peace with going to Florida.
I was like, I haven't had peace, yeah. but I didn't want to tell you that because I wanted God to speak to Scott
yeah.
individually, and I wanted him to bring it up to me.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, let's pray about this. And so we go into town, and I'm like, I'm going to go get another biography of a guy who coaches rugby. But I'm thinking like old 1980s, 1990s books, because it's obviously in South Africa, so it's going to be old Springbok rugby coaches. So we walk into the bookstore, and the book that's on promotion as you walk into the store is Eddie Jones, his autobiography, who's the England rugby coach. And it's just come out like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the book that's on promotion. I was like, all right, Lord, buy Eddie Jones's book. And same thing, huge heathen, just amazing story of how God directs his steps. Mm-hmm. Like God made him to be a rugby coach. And even he had a stroke in his 50s, and he's like, all right, my life has more purpose than it was all about him up to that stage. And then he realized God made him to be a rugby coach. And there's more significance to his life than just chasing his own ambition. He's meant to be a father to these young guys. And this whole time, I'm just like, oh, Lord, this is what I want to do. And so Kelly and I were like, all right, Lord, this is you speaking to us. This is the ram in the thicket with Abraham and Isaac. You told us to go to Florida. You know, we told everyone we looked foolish. This guy we're going to, not everyone likes him, his church. But we did it. Like we said, all right, Lord, we'll go.
Yeah.
And we got to South Africa, and God put the next thing of like, all right, here's your actual desires. Here's your actual
yes.
significance. Here's your actual thing. We also had a real desire to go and move back to where Kelly's parents are.
Mm-hmm.
And where her parents live is a big rugby hub. And it's like, all right, Lord, like I can go and get involved with rugby up there, and we can be near your family, and we can try and figure out this farmsteading.
Which has always been the desire of my heart, to live
mm-hmm.
closer to my family, but
yeah.
it's always something you hold with hands wide open of like, okay, God, this is the desire of my heart, but even more than that, my desire is to be in the center of your will. And if that's not your best, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And so we're like, all right, Lord, when we go back home, like this is what we're going to do. We're going to move to near her parents, and I'm going to start coaching rugby, and we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah.
And then this whole lockdown thing comes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, all right, Lord, you're directing our steps again.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not time.
Because what we thought we were going to go do you know, is now put on hold for we don't know how long, you know, and even when it comes to like, oh, let me go coach rugby here at this rugby club in town here in South Africa. It's like, nope, everything's shut down.
And this is the importance of why you keep listening to God after you get a word from him. Because the whole point of getting words from God, it's not so much about the word, it's about the connection with Father. Of like, okay, God, like, this is what I'm feeling, this is what we're going to walk towards, but like, what are you thinking now? Like, what are you, how are you directing us now? And it's not just like, oh, we got a word to Florida, never listening, like, never,
that's where we're gonna go.
Yeah, done. Like, we're not gonna listen to God on anything else. Like, we heard a word and we're done with it. And had we done that, I mean, God would have blessed it, but it wouldn't have been his best for us.
Yeah.
And even seeing how what's happening now, like,
yeah, it's like, all right, Lord, like, we can't go anywhere else. This is you directing our steps. So what have you got for us here? Like, what is the next thing here? And I'm sure a lot of you guys are in that same space as well. Things are shut down, things are locked down. Like, what is going on? The Lord will direct our steps in this place.
Yeah.
And so to start really just asking the Lord, all right, Lord, like, I'm listening. I'm ready. Like, what is the next thing you want us to do? And so, you know, it's just like the amazing things of like how Lord directs our steps. Yeah. But in these things, it's also, there are circumstances that we are led by.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, the circumstances are now locked down and shut down with wherever you are. And so one of the things we really just want to encourage is what this season is for everybody is it's a season of preparation as well.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of guys are going to feel like this is a prison time and, you know, this incredible change, it's a forced change for everybody on a societal scale. And in America, we spoke about that survival, slavery, significance, economies. And for everyone in America, you, for the first time ever in your life, you're being bumped from slavery down to survival.
Mm-hmm.
You're now trying to figure out, oh my gosh, how are we even going to survive? And, you know, so in this time is to really just seek the Lord, because God is our provider.
Amen.
He is our protector. He is our director of our steps.
Yeah.
And so to just really get into this place of Deuteronomy 28 is a really good one to start reading the blessings that the Lord
commands.
And reading
it out loud.
Reading it out loud. That God commands a blessing on us.
Yeah.
And we just want to say as well, is like once this thing is over, we don't know when that'll be. We don't know what the next things are, but we just want to encourage you to not return to slavery. You know, God led the Israelites out into the desert place, and the desert was uncomfortable, but yet he provided food for them.
Mm-hmm.
He provided protection for them. But all the time, the people were grumbling to go back to Egypt, to go back to slavery. You know, and we just want to encourage you guys is in this desert time, this transition time to we don't know where, we don't know what this promised land is, but start dreaming of the promised land. Start dreaming of what God has put on your heart to do, which is significant. And when this thing is over, you know, we'll find that family is significant. Time with God is significant. Time on our own land is significant.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to encourage you in this time. Is it might feel like a Joseph time or a David time in prison or in the desert. It might feel like a Job time where just the whole world is falling down around you. Just cry out to the Lord, seek the Lord, and don't go back into slavery. What is it that the Lord has put in front of you that is significant? And let's, in faith, hold that vision and hold hope. Get your hopes up that is where the Lord is taking you after this desert season.